your host, Eric Balance, and this is the Resilient Minds Podcast. Join me as I explore the capabilities of our minds and how our X factor can become our Y factor. Now is our time. Welcome, everybody, to the Resilient Minds Podcast. I'm sitting here with an amazing woman, a brilliant mind, a resilient mind, Miss Jess Impiazza. Now, let me know first, did I pronounce that right?
Impiazzi, close enough.
Impiazzi, it's like, that's a little bit of, and let me guess, is it a little bit of Italian?
It's Italian, yeah.
Awesome. See, beautiful name, amazing. So I nailed it. For those of you that don't know, Jess is an actress. She's a model, she's a businesswoman, an author, who's now living back in the UK after 6 months in LA. You know, she's a regular force of nature and a big face on the small and the big screens. You know, having starred in The Only Way is Essex, MTV's X on the Beach, and Celebrity's Big Brother, among many other shows. I'm really excited to, you know, get into this conversation. That's like, you know, an amazing celebrity. We're connecting, we're talking. I'm super pumped. You know, you're a champion of the rights of the visually impaired, having been forced to drop out of Italia Conti to care for your mother, who's diagnosed with uveal effusion syndrome, which caused her to go blind. Am I correct in saying that?
Yeah.
Wow. In May 2016, you helped lobby the British government to improve equal rights for those discriminated against for using guide dogs. And wow, I really like to be discriminated against, and you frequently use your social media to further champion that cause. So that's, you know, to me, immediately when I say this, it feels like, why would people, you know, discriminate against guide dogs? You know, it's something so profound and so important for us, you know, so much love there to be able to connect with the rest of the world. And I love that you're immediately, you know, right in there sharing, you know, your love and passion, you know, to serve. So we'll get into that. But before we finish, because there's more, right? There's more. Jess embarked on a glamour model career in 2009, posing for cameras and magazines, national British papers, including The Sun, Nuts, Zoo, and Loaded. And apart from that, she's super excited to see her next film called Rhea, in which she stars as the lead female role alongside Dean Cain, Kimberly Wyatt, and Luke Goss. So I'm super excited to see it. I can't wait to hear more about it. How are you doing? Welcome.
Thank you for having me. I'm really well, thank you. And how are you?
I'm doing amazing. It's a pleasure and a privilege to have you on the show. I'm really excited. Where are you coming in from today?
I'm from Surrey in like the south of London, a very stormy and wet and windy Surrey right now.
I love it. Well, you know, I'm in from Tulum where it's sun and no hurricane. But it's amazing. I'm excited to kind of like, you know, really pick your brain for a little while here over these next, you know, 45 minutes to an hour and really understand. And with the Resilient Minds, I always get into deep conversation with amazing thought leaders like yourself doing brilliant things in the world. And we always discover, you know, how our experience, which I always like to call our X factor, really determines and creates our big Y or Y factor. So I'd love for you to share, if you don't mind, you know, some, and I know we kind of touched on it in the intro, but I'd love to know, you know, what is Kimberly, or you, like, what has been, you know, working with Kimberly and Luke and Dean, you know, all of these like big things that have transmuted into reality for yourself, Jess, and really taking the time to contribute to that why, that big purpose. Where did that come from originally? You know, what was this hunger, this resilience that was created? And, you know, how does that fit into in your today's mission, to your big why?
Yeah, well, you know, as a child, we all find, and I definitely found it, there's something that you are drawn to, something that you love and enjoy. And as we grow, we kind of get pushed in certain directions by parents, by teachers, by what's around us, by our cultures, and it can be pushed out of us. And I think that can cause a lot of mental health problems in this day and age, because no one is living their true self. I knew as a kid, all I ever wanted to do was act. That was all I ever wanted to do. But I'd been quite, I had quite a hard childhood, as in I saw a lot of domestic violence going on. So my growth and development was a bit stunted by that. And when I got into theatre school, the Talia Conti, my mum went blind, and then I lost my nephew to meningitis when I was 17. And all these things happened before I even hit the age of 18, that I kind of lost my way a bit. Hence why I went into the reality TV route for a while, just to find some source of who I was again, which, I'm going to be honest, reality TV didn't help that, but it did give me a platform. And there was something inside of me that knew I needed to use that platform. I didn't know how, and I didn't know what to do, but I just knew that I've got some influence here from what I've built. My mum had been blind since I think I was 17. And, you know, I'd started taking her to blind classes to relearn how to be a blind person, because life is now completely different. I'd pick up a few elderly ladies from our area, and I'd drive them in as well. So I became a little chauffeur every Tuesday and Thursday to take them all to class. And then when my mum got her guide dog, I saw that she had changed her life around, because she was now able to do things on her own again. So that's where the guide dog element came in, to kind of give me, well, I used that platform to help promote and find things that were, where people were having injustices, which I'll go into again a bit later. But the movie thing came back because I'd done Celebrity Big Brother. It was like the last reality show I'd done. And I just knew something was missing still. And I kind of tried to strip back and be like, okay, so what was it that you loved as a child? Because all you've ever talked about is that you want to be an actress, you want to dance, you want to act, you want to sing, you want to perform. I mean, as a child, all I ever did was get my poor nephews and dress them up as elves and make them put on shows for the family. I was always doing stuff like that, so whether they liked it or not. And I knew that's what I wanted, but I didn't know how to get it. I didn't know how to do these things. And then I just thought one day, and this is, you know, I was about 27, I think, at the time, when I thought something has to change. I went back to acting school and I did the things that I knew would, it may not make me a movie star overnight, but it's like planting seeds. I needed to plant a seed for it to go somewhere else. And so I went back to acting school. Then I meet like-minded people who are wanting to act. Therefore, you're practicing, you're learning, you're gaining, you're meeting new people, and you, in any walk of life, I feel that when you want something, your thoughts and your energy is going to go towards that. And it's, you know, that can be a positive or a negative, because if you're thinking negative things, you're going to easily spiral down, because that's all that's on your mind. Thoughts go to action. So my thoughts are now no longer the negative side, which were, oh, I'll never do it, I dropped out of school, and I had this constant negative chatter. So of course everything was negative. But as soon as I said, I'm done with feeling like this, I'm going to go for it, I'm not getting any younger. Like you can redo it, your life, at any point in the span that you've got. And I thought, why am I holding this back? I'm still young, and I'm trying to give myself excuses, because that's easier to sit in, is my excuses. So I stopped the excuses. I thought, no, you're going to go to theatre school. I don't care if you're scared again at 27, you're going to go back to class. And I did. And trust me, for the first 2 months, I was petrified. I could hardly speak to anyone, but I just carried on with that resilience, because I thought, what, there's two options here. I'm scared and it all fails, but I still tried. Or I'm scared and I do it and it all goes really well. Or I could not do it at all and constantly feel like crap about it. So I chose to go for it. And actually, it worked. So it was because all I ever did was read more of how I could progress, learn more how I could progress, and find the people that were also wanting to do the same. And when you're all surrounded by that, there's only one thing you can do, and that's improve. Because if you're going to constantly look at something, you're going to improve.
Absolutely. You touched on it a couple of times, and something that you really emphasized powerfully was like community. And community, tribe, like-minded individuals. For me, that's been such a big determinant accelerator, you know, whether, you know, being in the platinum community or, you know, having amazing people in like Tony Robbins. And like that has really allowed me to propel so much faster just because of the insurmountable of people that really have contributed to that similar why, right? That similar version of growth and seeing, and you touched on it again, thoughts and really working with our thoughts and understanding how our minds really are a key determinant of what we want to transcend or recreate, transmute into reality. And for me, why I really, you know, started this show was to help people see that thought leaders, brilliant people that are doing consistently big things like yourself, work on their minds.
Yeah.
And we're so resilient in the way that we, and you touched on learning, and like all fascinating in the first 5 minutes, right? Like community, learning, self-development, growth, how that really continues to evolve into reality. And I believe it's our mission as leaders to help others see that version, because there's so many of us that continue to exist in this world, mm-hmm. rather than truly thrive. And that's why I really created this show. And I just want to say that what you, like briefly we've just touched on, already has shown this profound journey that so many people are yet to come through, but you've already accelerated in that fashion. And you've been through this profound journey regularly, like up and down, and it's probably not easy. You know, like there's a lot of peaks and valleys that you've been through, ebb and flow, but you continue to evolve. So as you've been on this profound journey and you continue to evolve into the future version of yourself, what did you realize was a profound shift in your belief system as you grew? And do you still believe that?
Yeah, well, do you know what? There's so many elements of this for me, because I can look now and I call myself old Jess because it's a completely different mind to the person I am now. And I could, we all do it. We get caught up in our problems, our gossip, our things that just make us coast. And once you can kind of break that, you, it's almost like you're looking at yourself from above your brain. It doesn't make much sense, I know, but you see your thoughts. It wasn't until I think I got a divorce that I hit rock bottom. And a lot of people, you know, we thought of rock bottom as an awful place. But for me, it was my savior, because I came, that was my change point, where I'm like, I do not want to live like this anymore. I'm not living my dreams. I'm not living my purpose. I'm not helping anyone. Life, I'm just coasting by. I'm unhappy and I'm reaching out for things and they're not changing. I need to change. This isn't about everybody else. This is about me. So I started doing a lot of work on myself. I started meditating, and that was the first time I learned about the voice in your head. When I started meditating, I would always talk myself out of things. I would always find the negative or reasons not to do it, the fear, and I would let it consume me. And it wasn't until I meditated when I thought, hold on a moment, this is something in here telling me all this, because I've just shut that voice up. So for me, when I found that I could be in control of my thoughts rather than my thoughts being in control of me, things really began to change. That was like my catalyst, because I would wake up of a morning and say, you know, for the past 10 years previous, I've been miserable when I woke up. I'm not a morning person. I'm tired. I was like, no, you are a morning person. Now go out for a run. And I would just get up and do it. I would count. It was Mel Robbins who kind of taught me the 5-4-3-2-1 act. And I just kept doing it and I kept doing it. And then little things would change in my life. My mood would be better. My fitness was better. My everything was better. My determination was stronger. And I'm like, okay, if I'm just doing the most tiniest of thing here, that's making my life basically change around. Imagine if I did more, what I can achieve. And that's how I carried on. And every single day, I would not let my thoughts get the better of me. I would be in control of them. And if my body's saying, do not go out for a run, not because I'm in pain or anything, because we have to listen to our bodies as well. But I'm talking about the fear or the, oh, it's raining, the excuses. I got rid of the excuses. I would not allow myself to have an excuse anymore. And that's when things really flipped around for me. Like for the book, I've always wanted to write. I loved writing. And I wrote a book completely just off the back. I had no idea it would do well. I had no idea how to get a publisher. And in fact, I had no idea how to write a book. I didn't have a clue. I just started it. And every day I made myself get up and write. And now I have a publishing deal. And it's just the self-discipline. Because I think Will Smith said it, self-discipline is seen as a negative. You think, oh, discipline is negative. But no, it is absolutely imperative. And it's also our best guide. Like, if we can discipline ourselves to do things that are good for us, then we can take on whatever, surely.
Anything. And it's the discipline that really allows us to really connect to our greatest purpose. And if we see it, I really find, if we see it in our mind sight first, we will definitely, through discipline, through the act of discipline, be able to see it in our eyesight, you know? And it's like, I get fascinated, I love it. It's like, you know, that movie that he played in, where he talks about fear is just an illusion. I forget the movie's name.
I do know which one you're talking about, with his son.
Yes. And I know you. I know you know exactly what I'm talking about. But there's a quote there where he says, fear is just an illusion. The only mm-hmm. place that it exists is in our mind. And it really, and it's the same experience of reality. I believe that if reality can exist in our mind first before it does it in the 3D realm. And it has to. And that is something that I know that as we continue to evolve and grow and work on ourselves, you know, just like you did with the book, right? You woke up, you wrote. And now you have a publishing deal, and it's coming out
next month on the 26th of November.
Right?
It's called Silver Linings, and I thought it was quite a nice title for it because I wanted to talk about the hardships growing up, but I wanted to show how you can use all of these things that you may consider bad and pull the positive out of it. And that's exactly what I did. And I really wanted people to know that no matter what you're going through, no matter where you've come from, you can use this to strengthen yourself as a person. And your limits are endless. There is no limit. That's what I'm trying to say.
we have no limit. And I find that so many of us, like, when we start, we think that we're at some sort of a limit. You said it, like, when you were 27, right? You're like, oh my God, I have to go back to school. So if you could send a message to, you know, yourself or somebody else 10 years ago, mm-hmm. you know, what would you tell a younger version of yourself or maybe somebody that's just starting out right now?
I mean, just to keep going, just to believe in yourself. We're told so often that we're not pretty enough, we're too fat, we're too skinny, you know, we're told all this negative chatter and we consume it. And it's like that quote about the boat, when if you let the water in, that's when it will sink. And unfortunately, when we're younger, we do let the water in and it can sink us. And it's just the world we live in that happens a lot. But you are the power and you can filter all that out. If you stay strong and confident in yourself, nothing can sink you. If you've got a good heart and you want to do good in the world and you want to be a success, it's all in you. Like, I have GCSEs, I have no other qualifications. I went to theatre school, I didn't get to graduate. And now I'm an author. And, you know, I don't need to have, and an actress, and I'm doing the films that I want to be doing, and I'm loving life. And I haven't had to, you know, just because bad things happened, I lost out on some of these qualifications, that wasn't going to stop me. I mean, Richard Branson, one of the richest men in the world with the most successful companies, nothing stopped him. He dropped out of school at 16.
Yeah. And he's a brilliant mind and a great heart. And I think that's because he's heart-led. And the one thing that I find in a lot of, in the more that I, you know, get to interview brilliant minds like yourself, I get to see the commonality is the heart space, the heart-centeredness, the focal point. Is how can we serve and how can we help people? It's not about what we can get, but it's what we can give.
Yeah.
And I find that has really touched my heart. Go mm-hmm. ahead, what were you saying?
I agree. I was saying, like, with the book, I didn't start writing that thinking, oh, I'm going to write a load of this to get a load of money, because that didn't even cross my mind. To me, I don't even know if it will, you know, it's not at that stage. When I wrote it, I really wanted young girls or young guys at my age growing up to know that if something bad happens, you can change that around and use it and find the positives and use whatever life has thrown at you to create a new and more impressive and more kinder and loving and empathetic version of yourself. And I wanted to write that just to try and help people understand that that's not the end, and you've just got to keep going and share your light with everyone, because we all have it in us. We just, some of us don't get to see it.
We all have it in us. Absolutely. You know, that's something that I think excited me when I was a young boy. You know, when I was a young boy, that heart space of like feeling like there's something out there that, you know, that Eric can do that's greater within myself. And Tony says this, you know, all the time, all you need is within you now. That's one of his quotes. And I remember being a young boy and the mere thought of what's possible excited me. Mm-hmm. Somewhere along the lines, that dissipated, you know, and then I had to re-evolve that. What do you think, like, what excites you, Jess, to continue to keep, like, running forward? You know, what makes you laugh? What makes you really just get up and say, oh my goodness, I'm so grateful?
Everything, absolutely everything. I mean, trials, tribulations still. And I love the fact that I'm 31, it's still a short time of being on this earth, I've experienced stuff that I can help people. And my mum has struggled sometimes with her down days, and I can sometimes say things to her and her mind will change. She'll be like, actually, Jess, that's really helped me. And just to be able to have had that switch in my mind where I can say some things to try and help people, that gives me something that I can't explain. It's more than joy. It's something that just, it gives me a purpose. I want people to know that they can be their best selves. So when I can help anyone in that kind of way, whether it be with the Guide Dogs Association to try and help the things on the outside, I also want to help people on the inside. And I feel like because I'd lived through that, and I can see two different people, and anyone that knows me sees me as two different people now from my early 20s and late teens to now, it's that I can understand where I was going wrong. And sometimes I can say to someone, maybe if you try this, or, you know, it's not me trying to impose or tell people how to live, but it can just be that little trigger that when I needed it, and I heard it through listening to people that, you know, on podcasts, on YouTube, they really helped me to progress my mind. And I just take some quotes sometimes from it, whether it be Tony Robbins or Mel Robbins or whoever, Joe Dispenza, I'll say, I heard this, maybe this could help you. And knowing that that person may not have wanted to go and listen to it before, then they're opened up to this world and then they'll start following it. Like my mum's just downloaded on Audible the Dr. Joe Dispenza, How to Change the Habit of Being You. And now she's listening to that. And I'm finding her behavior become a bit different. And that was just because I was able to pass on some knowledge from what I had listened to help myself. And that gives me a lot of happiness. And that's why I started writing the book, because I feel like the change that I felt in myself made me so joyful and grateful about everything that I have in my life and every person that has walked through my life, whether it be a lesson or someone that stayed with me for the whole time so far. I just want, you know, to be able to pass anything on and just help people. I think, you know, it's the gratitude that I have to be able to be in this position. It may not have been easy as a kid, but it sure has turned me into who I am. And I couldn't be more grateful for all of that.
It's all a gift, right? Like, isn't it? Like everything happens, you know, for us, not to us.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
It really is the biggest gift. So describe this process for us, like, you know, going through and you know, becoming an actress, you know, how you've gotten into, you know, writing and becoming an author as well. Describe that process, or like, is it a pretty intense process? Is it difficult? Like, let us into your world a little bit.
Yeah, so I started at theatre school, which was Italia Conti. And, you know, it's a very competitive industry. You know, there's so many people that want to be actresses and all of that jazz. But, you know, I started off there and I had to leave early. And a lot of my friends, you know, they've gone on to do great things, but it's when you leave theatre school, you have to know that you're going to do it. Because if you have any things doubting, you're probably not going to go for it, because you've just got to go full speed ahead. Unfortunately, I didn't get to graduate because I came back to look after mum. But I think it was it was, I had it in me. I needed to do it, but my circumstances just didn't allow it at the time. But again, I do believe that's a bigger force out here looking after me, because maybe I wouldn't have been able to cope with it at that point. I needed to hit my lows, my breakdowns, whatever, so that I could actually come back and do it from a place of, you know, with none of the other stresses. I've healed that. And now I can go at my passion with love and joy and everything that I wanted to do. So I went back to acting school as an adult, as I said. And then I just started trying to get small, low-budget movies. And luckily I did. I just knew I was going to do it. I wanted scripts. I would reach out to agents. I would film showreel content. We're lucky in this age now that we can actually film our own content, because back in the day when I was at theatre school, I couldn't even, to get an agent, you had to have your graduation certificates, and I didn't have those, so I couldn't get an agent, and it was like the chicken and the egg. But now I'm like, actually, I can act, so I can film this, I can film a tape and send it in. And, you know, we've got a lot of technology now which allows us to do that, and it's a great time to be able to showcase yourself. And even on social media, you can, if you want to act, you can put that on social media and you can get people seeing what you're doing, and you never know who might stumble across you. If it's meant to be, they will stumble across you. So my first big movie role, after doing a few low budgets, just trying to build up some credentials and also trying to build up some just more learning on the job for myself, because I have to learn everything, really, you know, what the crew are doing, how the lighting works. It's best to know everything, then you can work with the crew as well. Yep. I got the role in Rhea, and that took me to LA. That was incredible, because I was working with Luke Goss, who was from Hellboy and these big films, Netflix movies, and Dean Cain, who we all know as Superman, the original Superman, Kimberly Wyatt, Pussycat Dolls. And I had the lead role, and I was thinking, oh God, here comes imposter syndrome. But I was like, no, you're not going to do it. You're going to go out there. And I remember I would meditate every morning before I woke up to go in there with the best headspace. So I've learnt my lines, rather than get myself flustered and thinking, these people are here and you're here, and trying to put myself down with that voice chatter. I was like, no, not today. I'm going to meditate, get rid of you, and I'm going to go out there and I'm going to do my damn best. And it was just fantastic. It was a great learning opportunity. It's still not, you know, one of the biggest films in the world, but it's these stepping stones that you've always got to keep yourself. And you build and you learn. And the more you build, you learn, you make more connects. And I just think that's the beauty of the world we're in right now as well, is that we do have the opportunity to connect, stay in contact, and people that you get on with and people that have the same mindset as you. And I find a lot in industries like the acting world, the people that are doing well do have that mindset, because they know how to elevate themselves. And I think something I learned from meeting like Luke Goss and Dean is that they knew how to look after themselves in their inner space rather than just their outer space. And if you can do that, I do feel like you can conquer anything.
I agree. Oh, wow. That really speaks to me, because, you know, I think that there's probably a lot of people that may be listening right now, or if they're back listening to the recording, they may be thinking that, oh, you know, these people just became famous, or they just, you know, all of a sudden had it figured out. But the truth is that they really did work a lot on their minds and the resilience of continuous pursuance in regards to seeing what was possible. And, you know, you talked about Luke and Dean, and it's fascinating because, you know, I don't know who they are. Like, I know who they are, but I don't know them. Yeah. And when you talk about how they continuously evolved in the way that they thought, mm-hmm. It's a common denominator that we all have ability to connect to that brilliance within ourselves.
Yeah, and I completely understand what you say when you said about people that are listening could sit there and say, well, they're just born famous, or they were born to do that. It no one is. We're all born just as the same, you know. We are born into different circumstances, yes, but so many people completely change their world around, and it's not because they were special, it's because we are all special and we can all do this stuff. We just have to be able to. I think it's Dr. Wayne Dyer, he said, change that I'll believe it when I see it to that I'll see it when I believe it. And I know that when I that book that I wrote, I in my head I was like, that's going to be on that shelf. And I knew I had no idea how, But I knew I was going to have a book on that shelf in the bookstores that I wanted. And then fast forward a year, it's happening next month. I just knew. And a load of my friends said to me, you said, watch, give me a year and that will be in there. And I've done it to the date. Like, that's in there. You have to believe so wholeheartedly in yourself, because if you don't, no one else is going to. Why should they? You are your best self. You are the only person that can ever deter. You're your biggest cheerleader. Like, yeah. No one is going to clap for you more than you should be clapping for yourself. And if you can't clap for yourself, no one else is going to do it for you. People will pretend they don't, and be like, yeah, you're doing well, keep going. But they're not going to, they'll push themselves before they're going to push you. So you've got to have that push. And then everyone around you is going to believe in that push. Because if you have that in you, bloody give it a go. Go for it. This is your life. You only get one. I think we get caught up in the fact that we feel like we're going to live forever. And we don't, you know, we'll put things off, or don't tell the people we love them, or we don't write the book, we don't make the movie, we don't do whatever we want from our hearts because we think we've got time. But no, not one of us knows how much time we've got. And it's a given fact, we're all going to be born and we're all going to die. And it happens, we do die, it's just a fact of life. But what we should learn from death, I suppose, is that it shows us what we need to do in that bit of time we've got before there and there, because it does happen. And it shouldn't be something to be scared of. It should be something to push us forward and keep us going in our lives.
You know what? You've spoken so powerfully to the contemplation of death. And really, people die before they die,
mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
People really, you know, they die at the age of 20, 25, and then they, like, mentally, and then physically they die at their 75, but mentally there's so many of the population that they die before they die.
Yeah.
And there's a chapter at the end of Michael A. Singer's book, The Untethered Soul.
Love that book.
Where he talks about contemplating death.
Mm-hmm.
And that chapter completely... It transformed my lens and the way that I look at what is possible in our current life. And I found that it's so important. If anybody, one thing that you can do right now, get that book and just read the last chapter. Right? like if I can suggest anything, like, it will wake you up to seeing that you can really create from a space of abundance when you see the possibility that every day is a gift.
Yeah.
And, you know, what I'm noticing, what I'm hearing Jesse say is, like, you know, you have this massive intentionality with your life. What I'm hearing you say is you are willing to play flow. What I'm hearing is by your energy and your physiology that you're excited for each moment, that you wake up and you live in grace and gratitude. What I'm hearing you say is that you're so ultimately thankful for all of the circumstances, no matter good or bad, because it's brought you to this moment. And these values, they show up in your life, and they seem to definitely have shown up in your work. So how do you continuously correlate that with people that may sometimes have opposite views from you?
Oh, I suppose, you know, like, again, with the boat and letting things in, I suppose we're always surrounded by people that may have the opposing views, I think if you see anything with love, it's very difficult for people not to respond with love. I don't get offended. That's one thing I stick to, is I won't get offended, because I never take anything personal. Because to be honest, the grand scheme of things, I'm just the tiniest little soul on this massive universe and planet, that someone's maybe negative or nasty opinion isn't really a big deal when we've got this huge universe and I'm just a bit of ball of energy floating around it for a while.
You are, by the way. You're a ball of energy. You have very resonant energy in this space. Like, I can really relate to you, because I'm this, like, same energetic soul that, like, you know, runs around. But I can feel the energy that you give out, and it's super amplified. So, yeah, thank you for being
on that.
Yeah,
I feel like when you're surrounded by negativity or people that want to say bad things, I think if you, a lot of the time we get defensive because it's wounds that we haven't healed. Like, I know if I get defensive about something, I'm like, ah, there's a trigger point, so that's something I need to go and work on. And it's a way to find out.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I feel like actually someone can only hurt you or offend you or be negative towards you if you haven't figured something out inside. And it can be actually a good lesson for us when someone is like that, because then we can use that to be like, okay, I'll fix that part of myself too. Because something's really not going to offend you if you don't believe it about yourself, you know? So I try not to be offended. Or, and I also, I use empathy a lot, because I feel like if someone is hurting, they're often going to attack, or it's human nature that they would attack or defend themselves if they're feeling hurt inside. You can share love. I mean, in Celebrity Big Brother, I was in with people, it was Year of the Woman, so it was politician leaders, it was big group of women, like journalists, some really smart, incredible women who had completely the opposite political views to me. And I'm not very spoken about politics. I do my thing and I get on with it, and I'm not one to push anything down anyone's throats, but one of the women was completely like that, and people thought we'd clash just because I was this model and actress and she was this smart, intelligent woman. And we didn't, because I didn't take her views as offence. I accepted her views, but we could speak about it because none of us were getting silly and arguing, because that doesn't help anyone. If you can talk things through, actually you'll find most people connect on love. You know, regardless of anything else, love is the main thing that makes us all happy and keeps us going. And me and the lady became very good friends, because we were like, you know, as a person on a level, we get on, and there's nothing not to get on about, you know. And people that can come across quite spiteful and nasty, it's not on you. It is because they need healing. And if you can understand that, you're not going to go getting yourself in arguments and fights and silly things that are meaningless. Because if you can see people from empathy, you can, you maybe can help them and heal them. But if you can't, you know that it's on their shoulders. And actually, that's quite sad. And I hope that they can fix that for themselves, because it's quite an awful thing to carry around when you're feeling like that.
It really is. I love what you said. It feels like a mirror image almost when you're connecting in that manner, right? Like, I forget the quote. It doesn't matter. The quote's not important. What's important is the elements to really, when you feel like you're judging someone, it really is like you're judging yourself, right? Yeah. And I find that to be a powerful awareness point, you know. Trust, like, I notice myself sometimes catching myself. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, holy cow. But it's those moments of awareness that where you really start to recognize, wow, you really have some work to do.
Yeah.
And I think that's a gift that we start to really create in ourselves. Because it's never about the other person. It's always about how can we really come back to ourselves and see it in the perspective of our own lens, or what we can do to evolve. Because if you're given from a presence of love rather than the presence of fear, like you said, well, nothing can really affect you.
No, exactly. And have you seen The Judgment Detox by Gabby Bernstein, her book?
No, I you know what, I love Gabby. So I just finished her book, The Universe Has Your Back.
Brilliant.
And
yeah.
It was a beautiful gift that I got from a friend just after I got into some like true deep heart work that I needed to do.
Yeah.
And it was a gift that it was at the right time. Just needed the book at the right moment, and I'm excited to. What book did you say it was?
Well, The Judgment Detox. Now that completely changed my life, that book, because you don't. It's again just my new book. The first chapter, actually, I just finished, is called Awareness. Simply because if you're unaware of things, how can you change it? You know, it's like when an alcoholic has to go to Alcoholics Anonymous. They have to admit that they are an alcoholic to be able to fix what they but they've done. But if you're unaware of it, you can't fix it. Now, there were so many things in my life that I was unaware of that I wasn't fixing. So I wrote this whole chapter about it, and it just, awareness is the start, the catalyst for it all. You have to become aware, and it can be these tiny little things, these books, for instance, that can just give you that awareness and that switch. I was completely unaware of how much I judged myself, how much I judged others, how much I, you know, not even in stupid little things that were meaningless. Why was I even thinking those thoughts? And I learned how to pull that back. And then I became aware I was doing it so I could stop it. And when I stopped it, love exuded out of me rather than these negativity things that then it would just come back to me. So you can, yeah, you can become aware, you can stop it, and then change happens.
And that's the biggest power of the attraction level, where like the levels of the law of attraction, the levels of attraction, mm-hmm, like you have to like step it up every moment. And now you can attract the right people into your world that you really do want to be around, right? Which is amazing. And I think that that's a really cool, like simple step, you know, going to read, write powerful books. And I can't wait to read yours, you know, understanding a little bit more about your story, like, Silver Linings.
Yeah.
And it's coming out
on the 26th of November in all the big bookstores. Yeah, 26th of November. So it's exciting.
I love it. I can't wait. So tell us, how can we, you know, for anybody that's on here, you know, that is listening, how can somebody get in contact with you, find out more about your book, about what you're up to in the world? What can people, you know, how can they connect with you if they need to? Tell us more.
Yeah, so I answer as many messages as I can on Instagram, which is, my handle is at Jess, JESS_Impiazzi. It's just IMPIAZZI because it's the hard one to remember. And it's the same for Twitter.
I'll put it into the show notes, Jess, for sure.
Huh?
I'll make sure I put it into the show notes as well.
Lovely, thank you. So my main thing would be social medias, because I go through most of my messages and I try to get back as many as possible. So social media would be the best place to find me. And then on there, there's links to my books and anything else that's going on. You can find it all from my Instagram mainly.
Awesome. And I want to also just acknowledge your time and your brilliance, your energy, and the way that you're showing up in the world is really powerful. And I'm excited to read your book and watch your movie. I'm looking forward to it. So, but before I go, I have a question that I really ask everyone.
Yeah.
That's super important. And I think that it's super powerful. If you had 3 days left to live, what would you do?
Help heal the world and make people believe in themselves.
Powerful. It's the belief in ourselves that really can help heal the world, right?
Exactly.
Such a gift. Thank you so much for your time. Do you have anything, any last shares you want to, anything you want to add?
Just thank you so much for having me on and, you know, letting me talk to anyone that will want to listen, and, you know, let's all heal and look after each other. It's the only way to go. Love.
With love. Absolutely. Well, I'll leave you with love, and we'll talk soon. Bless you. Bless your heart.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.